The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
Let's go back to March 26th, 1993. 26-year-old American Annie McCarrick went missing. A former work colleague saw her on a bus to Enniskerry at about 3:30 that afternoon, and after that, what happened to her remains a mystery. It's a mystery that we, over time, have feared we'll never get to the bottom of. But I'm now joined by two men who are working together to ensure that's not going to be the case. Catherine Fegan in the Irish Independent has been writing about this story. And as her headline in recent days said, there is hope of one last roll of the dice. Michael Griffith is a US lawyer who first came to Ireland to investigate Annie's disappearance back in 93. Ken Strange is a former FBI special agent. Both are on the line. Good morning to you both, gentlemen. Michael, to you first of all, what brought you to Ireland in 1993?
Well, I lived in the same area as Annie in Long Island, and the father contacted me, who unfortunately has passed away, and I came over with Annie's father, and we put together a team, including Brian McCarthy, a very good private investigator out of Dublin, and we had a team from Link Security out of London, headed by Jack McArdle, who was retired head of Scotland Yard's uniform division. We opened up headquarters and did a TV show with Gay Byrne. And we had TV exposure, radio exposure, and unfortunately, there were no good leads. At the time, we were working with my friend Eamon Barnes. Eamon was the DPP of Ireland at the time. I knew him through the International Bar, and his son Joe Barnes is now on our team.
Okay, and what happened when you got here? Because we were all familiar with the story of Annie and her disappearance and the theories that might have happened, what might have happened to this young woman. When did you start getting fearful that you weren't getting answers and that the leads that you had expected through your work were not materialising?
Well, I suspect that when we left, we wanted to get into the Eamon Barnes tried to help get us into the Goddard's investigation, but they weren't that helpful at the time.
Okay.
But I am pleased to announce, within the last 15 minutes, thanks to Catherine Fagan's article, I received an email from an Irish citizen with a very, very promising lead. We're going to investigate this lead and see whether it's credible or not. I can't go into it, obviously, at the time, but this article did produce something that's got to be followed up.
And how confident can you be that after the passage of time, after 30 years, that something can now come forward, or somebody can come forward and shed some light on this?
Well, let's just say that the individual who sent me the email was very friendly with someone who knew Annie at the time, and the Garda, I don't know whether they went into this particular lead, but we are going to go into it because it's something as a seasoned criminal defense lawyer which should be looked at.
Okay, this is Jonathan Healy in for Pat Kenny, by the way, and we're speaking with Michael Griffith, who is a US lawyer investigating Annie McCarrick's disappearance since 1993. But Ken Strange, you're a former FBI special agent. How did you become involved in this case, Ken?
Well, I became involved because, I have a connection with the family. Mr. McCarrick was my high school teacher. His wife, Nancy, worked at the school, and Annie was a close friend of my baby sister's. So I knew the family fairly well. And, you know, when I first heard about the disappearance, I thought, well, you know, I'm sure the local police will be able to handle this. But, you know, in time, and actually 10 years went by, and there's still no, you know, no progress seemingly in this case. I decided to become involved. And the first thing I did was approach Mrs. McCarrick, and I said, you know, do you have a complaint on file with the FBI? And surprisingly, she said she did not. So, you know, I made sure that she was able to file a complaint, which launched an investigation. And, you know, we were able to send some agents from the Behavioral Analysis Unit, BAU. That's kind of the Silence of the Lambs people. Over to the UK to look further into the matter. So since then, I've taken a very active interest, and you know, I've been in touch with the Gardaí and with journalists like yourselves, and been very active. And of course, now I've been collaborating for the better part of 2 years with Michael and with Brian McCarthy.
The narrative here in this country, as you're aware, Ken, would have been that there was a series of missing women cases. They were all lumped together, and you know, we had many theories about who might have been responsible, whether one individual may have been responsible. Over time, some of those cases were solved, others weren't, including Annie's case. What was that helpful? That there was such a discussion about whether one individual might have been responsible for this, and do you think now anyone approaching this needs to look at this clinically? And coldly, to the exclusion of those theories.
Well, look, you know what I think what we can bring to the table is a fresh set of eyes on a case that has grown stale. Personally, having worked matters like this, I believe that this is the work of a serial killer. The geography suggests that, and. You know, I've heard some other theories, you know, possible involvement by maybe someone from the IRA. But, you know, things like that, you know, having worked in the government and you know as well as I do, trying to keep a secret is a very difficult thing to do. So, I think if there was a conspiracy afoot, that information would have gotten out by now. So I think it's closely guarded by the possibly a lone serial killer.
How confident are you, given your experience in the FBI, that a case this cold can be solved?
Well, I mean, there's going to be a number of challenges, but I'm very confident. We have a pretty good team assembled, you know, with subject matter experts, legal, criminal. Subject matter experts to bring a result to the case. The other thing is, I've got a law enforcement background, and I think that is very helpful as far as communicating with the Gardaí. We have an open invitation to meet with them, and I think that is going to be enormously, enormously helpful.
Michael, if I can come back to you. COVID-19 means you can't travel here, which presumably would have been your intention to do so. Is that going to hamper your effort?
Yes, actually, because this is essential business. And in fact, I'm in Italy right now and working on another matter. And I was able to get into Italy due to the fact that I'm working on essential legal business. And obviously, the Annie McCarrick situation, particularly with this new lead that we have, I would say is obviously very essential for me to come there.
How cooperative are the Gardaí with you now? I mean, are they willing to entertain outside investigators such as yourselves?
Jonathan, that's the $64 question. And I think we've made some inroads already. I think Ken has made an inroad or two. And with the help of Joe Barnes, you know, the son of the former DPP, I suspect, particularly with our new lead, which they may have looked into. I'm not quite sure. So we'll see when I get there. We'll see.
When you're dealing with this, and obviously the family are still desperately seeking answers, the last thing you want to do, Michael, and Ken the same, is get people's hopes up. when maybe this is a mystery that may never be solved. How are you managing that? Ken, if we can put that question to you.
Yeah. No, I certainly agree that you don't want to get people's hopes, too high, for sure. I think the basic thing here is to be honest with what we may be able to, to accomplish while we're there. But at least, this is kind of a jump start to the case. And, right now, we need all the publicity we can. And, who knows? There may be just the right person out there that's waiting to hear something from us and decides, I'm going to step forward. I'm going to divulge or share information.
Mm. And Michael, I think you're still with us. Just to finish up, the focus a lot had been on Johnny Fox's pub, that she'd been seen there the day she disappeared. That probably led that investigation for a long while. Do you think that there may be other areas of interest that could be examined, that should be examined, that people might be able to cast some light on?
Yes, Jonathan, somebody out there knows something. The Johnny Fox's pub was a total bum steer. At first, the security guard thought that she was there that night, but we had Brian McCarthy go up there and interview him intensely, and it was another American girl. She had left her apartment at about in the late afternoon, and someone said that they saw her going up to Johnny Fox's, but she was a music fan. And the music of Johnny Fox's didn't start till 8 o'clock at night, so she wouldn't be heading up there on a 5 o'clock bus. But somebody does know something, and maybe thanks to people like you and Catherine Fagan and the press, someone out there knows something, and we hope we're going to get a good lead if we don't have one already.
Okay. Michael Griffiths, criminal defence lawyer, Ken Strange, former FBI agent, both actively investigating the disappearance of Annie McCarrick in March 1993. Gentlemen, thank you both very much for joining us. This